not going to embarrass you? Well, maybe a little. You remember we were talking about the candles and what season that we were... Do you remember the name of the season we were celebrating? Can you remember? Christmas is right. But the candles represent Advent season. That's what we're calling. Advent means it coming, expecting. And so what are we expecting? What are we looking forward to coming? The birth of Jesus, right? And that's what Christmas is all about. Look at all the beautiful decorations, aren't you? So look at how beautiful, and thanks to all those that were a part of decorating our church. But the beauty of this season, and remember this was the candle of hope we talked about last week, and that means we have hope in Christ. This is the candle of preparation that we prepare when Jesus is coming. We look forward to that. Look at this color of this candle. Do you see what color is that? No, it's not quite red. It's pink. Very good. But pink means, and it represents joy or rejoicing. The purple was royalty and repentance. And the pink is, so this is the candle of joy that we talk about today. How joyous a time it is for us to think about Christ coming to earth in the form of a baby. He came that we should be prepared for His coming. We should prepare for Christmas. I know you guys are looking forward to it, but look forward to what it stands for. Jesus Christ coming, because He gives us hope. That's what we need. And so keep that in mind as we get forward and look forward to coming to Christmas, all right? Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you, Jack. All right. Nothing like, and it is beautiful. Give a hand to those who decorate. How beautiful that it is. What a wonderful time of the year that we come to celebrate and we think about it. And I know that sometimes our celebration gets skewed by the way that the world does it. If we're not careful, we're the same way, and we get all bothered about gifts and what we buy and how much we spend and all those things. Please understand that that's not what Christmas is about. As we continue on, it's amazing to me how God lines up His scriptures, and I don't know why we get so amazed at amazing God. But today we're talking about, we're going through the standards of the Master, preaching through the Sermon on the Mount. We've had a great time in that. But we're at a section in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus is dealing with. He talked about the last couple of sermons we were talking about. He was dealing with temptations of this world. How many people, Dean was talking about our young people today and how the temptations of the world seem to be just, really, we can't comprehend it at where we're at. It's just elevated in such a peer pressure and all the things that are going on today. And so he was talking about the temptations of the world. He was talking about our, if you remember, our giving, our almsgiving, and that was how we give. Not to do that before men to be seen, but to do it before God. And he talked about the same thing with our prayer life, that our prayer life is between us and God. And so the Pharisees were always trying to show off or show out, we like to say, for other people. And then last week he talked about our fasting, and I had one of our older members said they'd never heard a sermon on fasting. That's a shame. Word of God, you know, and we should teach the whole counsel of God, and that's why we expositorily go through the Scripture. We should know all these things and hear all the things that the Scripture has to offer us. But he was dealing with not doing our fasting. Remember, he was talking about the Pharisees last week. They'd make their face, they'd get all dirty and wouldn't clean up, and so everybody knew what they were doing. And he says, don't do that. Do it. And it's really this section he's talking about our relationship with God. And he keeps saying, your Father in heaven. Your Father in heaven. Let me tell you, for those that's lost their father, that means a lot, okay, to have somebody that never leaves us, never forsakes us. I look forward to seeing my dad again one day, but until then, I have this heavenly Father that I can communicate with, that He calls me son, and I can call Him Father. Well, that relationship that we have, wow, and he's dealing with that, and you know, in this section that we get into today, he's really, and that's Matthew 6, 19 through 24, turn in your word if you would. Matthew 6, 19 through 24, and we'll read God's word in just a minute. But he's dealing with these further temptations in life. Can anybody raise your hand if you've ever been tempted? It's a joke, right? We live in a world of temptation. And he's dealing with today probably the greatest temptation that we'll have, and it's worldliness. You'll hear that, worldly, this idea of the world. And you see that all through Scripture. We talk about the world, and we'll flesh that out in a little bit. Right now, let's stand on our feet and honor God's Word and read in Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 24. Matthew 6, 19 through 24. It says, do not lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, or treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And he finishes up 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'll hide me behind the cross. May your word go forth. Here we have your word. It's open. But it's your Holy Spirit that has to reveal what it is that you want us to hear today. And so I pray everybody will have attentive ears and they'll respond in obedience to whatever you tell them. And Christ will be glorified. For it's in his name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. So he's dealing with this idea of worldliness. It could be categorized in many ways. I'm going to tell you something. Probably the best way that it's categorized in America, and we'll talk about the American dream a little bit, is a materialism. The idea and this understanding of materialism, having our stuff, our possessions. And so I want us to keep that in the back of our mind as we look. Jesus understood about temptation when he walked this earth. He was fully man and he was fully God. We talked about that in Sunday school lesson this morning. And Donnie, you did a great job. Fully God, fully man. And so he understood, he walked this earth, he understood about temptations. If you think about the temptations of man, is the world, the flesh, and the devil. You could probably categorize, you could put it all in under those three categories. And today he's dealing with the worldliness. And he understood how we are and how we are geared towards this materialistic kind of mindset. And the truth be known, it's clauses in each and every one of us today, including your pastor. Okay? And so we can't push it to the side and act like, well, that doesn't touch us. It touches all of us. You say, how can you say that? Because we live in affluency in America, okay? Let's just be honest. We don't understand. If you've never been outside the shores of America, you've never seen the third world country and how the majority, billions and billions of people live on a dollar a week. Can you make it on a dollar a week? We can't even comprehend that, okay? So we're so affluent, and what I always say is that we're spoiled on the blessings of God. Very spoiled on his blessings. I want us to understand that God doesn't mean for us not to have anything. And I want to get that right up front. And we're not talking about, he never advocated being homeless. He only told one person, if you think about it, to give up everything. That was a rich young ruler. The reason he did that is because he had made it an idol. He had made it what it wasn't supposed to be in our life. But I want us to flesh out as we get into this three perspectives of our treasure, vision, and master that Jesus gives us today. And I have to ask you that question. Where is your treasure? First, the two investments. Look at 19:21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We are stuffed with stuff, okay? We're stuffed with stuff. You realize that in America, you can have a business and make a living solely on storing people's stuff. That's true. Just storing people's stuff. I want us to think about the American dream today. What is the American dream? And we all think about that. We all heard that. What is the American dream? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But how does that manifest itself out in stuff? I contend to you that we can probably sum up the American dream in a four-letter word this morning. You can't say four-letter words in church. Okay? M-O-R-E. M-O-R-E. We are not satisfied. We want more. More, it seems like that's what the American dream has become. And we have to be very careful with that. Because if it's not careful, our whole life is given into this mindset of more, more, a lack of satisfaction. In fact, Paul said godliness with contentment, man. That's great gain. Being content with what God's given us. And the idea of this word lay up and treasures come from the Greek term is from our source of English that we get the word thesaurus. I thought, how interesting. treasury of words. And if the literal translation of this would be, do not treasure up treasures for yourself. Wow, listen to that. Do not treasure up treasures for yourself. What does laying up treasures on earth mean? Avoid it, just interpreting this with just money. Avoid this just thinking this is just rich people. It really entails each and every one of us that draws a breath, okay? What is it that we treasure? What is it that's most important to us? What is it that in our life we could not do without? We've got to be very careful. It could be many different things. But Jesus in this section is dealing with our possessions. He said, this laying up, it's this idea of treasuring these treasures, as I spoke about. Treasures is a very large term, and it includes more than just money, okay? It's not just money, but it means something more important. It's dealing with possessions, and not really concerned with the possessions themselves, but our attitude towards our possessions. Why is it that we are so clingy? Why is it that, as Herbert talked about, why is it that we have to be shook to remind ourselves of what the important things of this world is about? It's about Jesus coming to this earth. It's what Christmas is all about. It's about giving to the cause of people going out, being willing to go and sacrifice their lives in foreign fields and give it so the gospel can go forth. Why is it that we can't grasp the magnitude of how important that it is? Always amazed at how God lines all these up and lines people and some of the things that are said at what He wants us to get a hold of at this Christmas season. It's clear from the passages of Scripture, Jesus is not advocating poverty. But He's advocating, it's not saying that if you're poor, then you'll have this, means that you'll be very more spiritual if you're poor. Not advocating that. He's dealing with the whole issue of our hearts, and we'll see that played out. God, He commands, in fact, He tells us right up front for us to be generous people. Be generous people, not to hold and grasp the things of this world. And that's what He's talking to us about here. He expects us to enjoy His blessings. Do you realize every blessing that you have comes from God? Everything that you have comes from God. And it's to be given thanks for. I'm not talking about that we can't enjoy the things that God gives us, but we don't take a hold of them. We don't make that what's important in our lives. And in fact, when we do that, it becomes worshiping the gift and then more so than the giver. And Romans talks about that. We cannot do that. We've got to be very careful. And I think the key to Jesus' warning is the word yourselves. Look where He says that. Don't lay it up for yourselves. Do not lay up treasures for yourselves. Treasures on earth. Don't lay it up for it. It's not about us. We don't accumulate possessions simply for our own sakes. It's not all about us, okay? I hope that don't take anybody by surprise this morning. It's not all about us. It's about Him. It's hoarding or spending selfishly and extravagantly. And when that happens, those possessions, those becomes our idol. Becomes our focus in life. Our Lord is dealing with people who get their total satisfaction in this life from things that belong to this world only. Is that what our life is about? Just focusing on things that just belong in this life. And he's touching on that. It's combining our ambitions, our interests, and our hopes to this life. It's very easy to get caught up in that. What I call, it's like a huge black hole, that vortex of the world that we live in. It's very easy to get caught up that these are the things that make us who we are. This is who makes you special. This is why we teach our kids these things. We teach them to get an education. Nothing wrong with that. We teach them to get a great job. Nothing wrong with that. We teach them to have these things. Is that having these things what makes us who we are? We're guilty of that. All of us are. Is it having these things what makes us who we are? Having these things is understanding that it's a blessing from Him and that everything I have is to glorify Him and to bring Him to make much of Christ. making it the centers of our life? What is the center focus of your life? What is it? Are we working towards retirement? Oh, just 2 or 3 more years. Just a few more years and I'll be retired and I get to do what? Live out the American dream. Walk on the beach and pick up seashells in my plaid shorts. Play golf or go deer hunting. And I will stand before the King of Glory one day. And I'll give an account of what I've done with the blessings that He's poured out on me. What is the center focus of my life? What is it that I'm working towards? Is everything to bring God glory? And that's what He's touching on today, this idea of these investments that we have. Why? Why not invest? He said, why not lay up these treasures? He said, because they're not going to last. What is He talking about? Moth, rust. Now, that's just decaying. Do you realize in 100 years from now, those things that are so precious to you, I wonder what kind of shape they'll be in then. Rust and decay. And He talks about thieves. Don't matter, FDIC, what you got it protected under. Anybody can steal it, okay? He says thieves can break in, and everything that maybe you put all your focus in or worked your life for can be gone. They can't take Jesus. They can't take the things that you've worked for His kingdom. Nothing's permanent. Nothing. In fact, we just have a lease on it, okay? You're just leasing it. Just a steward is what it says. We're custodians of the things of God. How can we use them to bring Him glory? But He says, don't lay things up. Do you realize, He goes on to say, but lay up for yourselves what? Treasures in heaven. It's a right view of life. Laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven. You know what? We're just pilgrims passing through, okay? This is just a vapor. James said life is just like a vapor. How many of you are there on the back side of 50 and saying, you know what? I understand what James is talking about now. It's amazing how quick life goes and how we get so caught up in just living and striving, and it doesn't matter what it is, if we're working towards education or if we're working towards that job or that career or we want to be a mom or want to just look forward to dad having kids, and before you know it, your kids are grown up and they're out of the house and you're saying, what just happened? Always ask ourselves, how can I use them to bring Him glory? That should be our question. There's only 2 things that are eternal in this world. The Word of God forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. The Word of God and the souls of men. How are you doing laying up the treasures? How much time are you spending in this Word that will last forever and ever? You will not tap its riches. We'll spend eternity learning from this Word. How much are you sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost world that desperately, you can't tell me you don't see need it, desperately needs the gospel, and you have the commission to go out and take it with God's people? Laying up treasures in heaven, He said. You know why? He said, guess what? Ain't no moth, ain't no rust, ain't no thief going to take them. It's the things that are permanent in this world. And then He finishes up with this principle in this section. And it's right, I mean, He's right on the money. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. How do I view life? The American dream says, I will have what I want whenever I want it. Is that what Christ died for? Is it? If we're going to wake up as America, as a country, that used to stand on the foundations and principles of God's Word, we're going to have to get out of the lethargy of buying into the materialism and that what we think is important in this world. It's about Jesus. Everything we do, it doesn't matter what you do. You're a farmer. You raise cows to get God's glory. You raise chickens, let the chickens give Him glory. That's it. If you see life, you know, I like a deer hunt. Yeah, I love a deer hunt. fear might become an idol to me if I'm not very careful. Just getting out, enjoying, going. Just getting away and getting in the woods. I can spend time with God in the woods. You know what? He likes to go hunt with me. And I'll see little old squirrels and little old birds that come through all the time, and I'm out there, and them little birds will come through. There's a certain time of the day, and they'll be all together. There'll be different kinds of them, and they'll come through, and they're looking for worms. They're not out there fretting about where their meal's coming from. They're looking for the worms that God's providing them, and bugs, and all these things. And you know what? It dawned on me. They're worshiping. Why? They're doing what God made them to do. A squirrel brings God glory by being a squirrel. A bird does the same thing. We're the only ones that have a problem with it, okay? We get confused on who we are and what we are. We bring God glory by being what God made us to be, His children. His children. Well, that's two investments. Where are you making your investments? Where is your ROI going to be coming from? Earth? Heaven. Next is two perspectives. Look at 22 through 23. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? You know, what he's doing, these verses are really expounding on the previous three, and the eye becomes an illustration of the heart. He's using the physical to prove out what the spiritual should be. The lamp is the eye through which all light comes. It's only channel of light that we possess, okay? And therefore, it's our only means of vision on how we see. He's using that physical to show the importance of spiritual. The heart is the eye of the soul through which the illumination of every spiritual experience shines. When our heart is our spiritual eyes are clear, then our whole body will be full of light. It's how. What is our perspective? What is our focus? Good means that it's actually a word that means single. It's translated that way in the King James. A heart that is good represents a single-minded devotion. Our eye is either focused on the temporal or the eternal. What's your focus this morning? Is it on the temporal, the things here, or is it on the eternal, the things that will last forever? And that's what he's getting back at. Charles Ryle said, singleness of purpose is one great secret of spiritual prosperity. Wow. Singleness of purpose is one great secret of spiritual prosperity. How do you prosper spiritually? What's your focus? That's what he's speaking on here. If our eyes bad or diseased or damaged, no light can enter in. He's talking about this idea of our heart. What is it that we're focused on? What is our purpose? Is it on the temporal? Is it on the eternal? He said the eye that's bad is a heart that is selfishly indulgent. It's all about me. It's all about taking care of myself. The person who is materialistic and greedy is spiritually blind. I can't see it. Because there's no way of recognizing true light. He thinks he has light when he does not. That's the scary thing. He thinks he has light when he does not. How can he ever see unless the Holy Spirit can be made? The principle is simple and sobering. The way we look at our use of money and possessions is a sure barometer of our spiritual condition. You want a barometer? Spiritual condition. You want to know this morning just how close you are with the Lord or how well you're doing with the things of the Lord? Then look and see how you use your possessions and your money. He said that's a barometer of telling us where we stand. Well, we don't like to hear that if we're not careful. You've heard me say, you show me a man's checkbook, I'll show him his God. I wish that I could transport you to just 5 minutes to the slums of India to see the kids ravaged by poverty, no parents, work in the slums looking for a bite like a dog. You've heard me talk about that. I can't look out. I can see them working, looking for a meal. I can see their faces, looking for you to give them something just to eat. I wish you could go to the Sub-Saharan Africa where the HIV villages that are whole population of moms and dads and just kids in the house just trying to make it. I wish I could transport you 5 minutes to the world that so desperately doesn't have much of anything, and yet we don't complain about what we eat, what we wear, the temperature of the room. God help us. God help us. And yet we have people that are willing to plant their life in those places. Willing to go out. Young couples with kids. Goodness. Just want to go tell people about Jesus. We sit back and don't even think about them. One of these days we'll give them a chance. One of these days. Finishes off with two masters. If you look at verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The third choice is really dealing with allegiance. Masters. Just we cannot have the treasures both on earth and in heaven, and our bodies can't both be light and darkness. We cannot serve two masters. In fact, Jesus said that you should not. He don't say you should not. He said you could not. Masters is the word kurios. And it's translated Lord. And refers to a slave owner. Now, we're not talking about, probably some of you work multiple jobs, different places. We're not talking about employers here, right? We're not talking about loyal to employers. We're talking about slave owners. We're talking about being slaves. Not just speaking of this idea, but the masters of the slave. A slave owner has total control of the slave. No such thing as a partial obligation to his master. He owes full-time service to his master. Who is our master today? Who are we serving? In fact, the Bible speaks of Christ as our Lord and Master, and that we're his bondservant. We're his slaves, okay? Paul tells us that before we came in relationship with Christ, we were slaves to sin. But when we became and knew Christ, but when we trusted Christ, we became slaves to God and his righteousness. That's in Romans 6, if you want to look at that. We're either slaves to ourselves and sin, or we're a slave to Christ. Who's our master this morning? We cannot claim Christ as Lord if our allegiance is to anything or anyone else, including ourselves. Who is your Lord? John Calvin said, where riches hold the dominion of the heart, God has lost his authority. Treasure is either on earth or in heaven. Our spiritual life is either full of light or darkness. Our master is either God or mammon, our possessions or our earthly goods. Here's the deal. We like using Jesus as our example, don't we? Come on. What would Jesus do? We had braces, right? WWJD. What would Jesus do? How did Jesus look at this life when he walked on this earth? Luke chapter 9 records of a man coming and saying, I want to follow you. I'm willing to give up everything. You know what Jesus told him? Listen to this. I can't ever get over this. This is my Lord. This is my master. This is the one that stepped out of heaven into this earth. And you know what he said? Foxes have holes. Birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Homeless. Stepped out of heaven. Came to be homeless. Why? To you and to me. That's what Christmas is about, by the way. Gave it all up for what? To you and to me. Is he saying, now I want you to be homeless? No. In fact, all the blessings, every good gift, James says, comes down from the Father of life. I praise him all the time for his good gifts. But he doesn't want us to get so caught up in the gifts that we forget about the giver and living it out for him. He wants us to be his slave. You know what it should be? What do you need, Lord? Lord, what do you need? What did Isaiah say? Lord, send me. When he got a vision of Christ, high lifted up there in the temple. When he got a vision and he realized that he was full of sin, he said, oh, I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the land of unclean people. And they headed, and the God, they took a coal off the altar, the angel did, touched his lips. It's like cleansing him from his sin. And when he was cleansed from his sin, you know what he said? Send me! Send me, Lord! See, when we make it right, when we understand that Christ is our master, that he delivered us off the slave block of sin, that he ain't going to have to prod you or poke you to do and follow him in obedience. When we become his children, we want to say, Lord, what do you need from us? Send us, Lord. We're here for you. Jesus died for us. He died for everybody sitting in this room. If you've never received him as your personal Savior, you're lost. Doesn't matter what you feel, how you feel about the Bible, you think that's truth or not, none of that matters. There's only one way to heaven. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except by me. Only way. I know that's very intolerant in today's world. Jesus said, if you have to take up for him. Only one way. If you've never received Christ as your personal Savior, you're lost. Christmas will never mean to you what it means to me. You'll never be fulfilled. You'll be searching. Here's the deal. There's a huge void that you search for. And I can't even, all I can remember explaining it as a lost man is I was never satisfied, always looking, always feeling like I'm missing something. I'm missing something over here. I'm trying to get here. If I do this or I get this education or I get this career or in this relationship, then I'll feel fulfilled. I'll be all right. But then when you got there, it's like, nah, that ain't it. Next. That's what lostness is like, by the way. February 28, 1990, at an old Baptist church in Walker Road in Morgan, North Carolina, at 28 years old, I was tired of living that way. Goodness, all the drugs, alcohol, women, it didn't matter what it was not bringing satisfaction. And I like, Lord, and I hear this old man, he's dead now, he's with Jesus, got up and he preached about a Savior that came to this earth to bring peace and to close the void of a man's heart. And that I knew that I was longing, I'd been searching, and that night the Holy Spirit said, that's what you've been looking for. Do so much more than I could if you just get a hold of what God has done for you. If he has, if he's got a hold of you, if you know that Christ is in your heart, then you've got to be living for him. If you don't care, I question if you've ever been there. Jesus said, two masters. When our master is Christ, then whatever we do, whether we eat, drink, whatever we do, will be all. Who is your master? Where are you making your investments? What is your perspective? Who is your master? I need my baptismal candidates, if you may, please, be prepared to baptize. Then if you'll be playing. What an awesome thing you're getting ready to experience today, okay? This is not just a little thing, a routine that we go through. But this is two children, and you know what they're saying? I don't know what's going on with our kids, by the way, okay? Our kids are getting it. Our kids are getting it, all right? It's like they understand, you know, something as simple that a child can understand it. Jesus came to this earth, died for you. A child can understand it, yet we stumble over it in our vast knowledge and intellectual understanding. Why is that? Jesus has got to come like a little child. Praise God. You get to see today. Two young people that are saying, you know what? I got it. I understand. Baptism doesn't mean a thing. It's not this as far as adding to their salvation. It means everything by their public testimony unto God. It's not the completion of their salvation. They're already saved. It's their public testimony to the world. I've received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. So I want you to celebrate that as we go. something. This water has no salvation experience. It has nothing to do with the salvation, but it's this young lady making a testimony that's saying, I have died to myself and I am alive in Christ. Addie, have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Then by your testimony, my sister, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Come on, baby. Tell you what, these kids are happy and excited. I don't know of one that's any more excited than this one right here. Who knows? Who knows what the Lord will do with our kids? I pray He raises up godly missionaries, godly pastors' wives, godly housewives, godly fathers, godly workers. Starts with this generation. Daniel, have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Then by your testimony, my brother, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You go out this way. Stand to our feet if you would. I want to ask you today in our time of invitation, how's the Lord spoken to you today? God's word doesn't go forth void, but it'll return unto Him. How's God spoken to you today? If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, don't hesitate. Come forward. Give your life to Christ. I promise you this will be the best thing that's ever happened to you. If you realize your focus has been off, it's been on the things of this world, not on the things of heaven, just give God. Give it to God this morning. He'll listen to you. Who's your master? Who are you serving this morning? What is it that God has said to you? Every eye closed, every head bowed. What has God said to you? You're lost. Come forward. Receive Christ. What has God shown you today in His Word? Who is your master? Are you focused on the temporal or the eternal? What is your focus? Is it all about you? What you can get? Your career? Maybe a relationship? What is it God's spoken to you? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You can come forward. We already have people at the altar. God's spoken to you. Be obedient. Well, people are coming. How about you? What's God said to you? Not going to waste a whole lot of time. Give you the chance. But God's moving. He's doing a work. Sure would be awful for you to miss out on whatever it is He's telling you. Are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ? You say, what does that entail, preacher? Listen. Here's how you come to know Christ as He spoke to you today through His Word and He revealed Himself to you. And your heart's probably beating right now and you're dealing with stuff. And here's what you're probably saying. I need to quit doing this. I need to fix this. I need to fix that. Guess what? That's a lie from Satan. You don't need to fix anything. You just need to give to Christ this morning. And if that would be your prayer, this is what you say. Lord Jesus, today I realize that through the Holy Spirit that You have showed me that I need Jesus Christ as my Savior, Lord. I repent of my sin. Forgive me. I turn into Christ as my Savior. Help me to live for You from now on. That's all you pray. And if you pray that prayer, you make sure and let somebody know today. Greatest thing that ever happened. greatest Christmas you'll ever have when you realize the babe came. You can't have Christmas without Easter. Babe came, grown into a man. They killed him on a cross where he gave his life. He was buried. Third day he rose. Woo-hoo! Paul said, if he's not risen, we're all lost. But he's risen, okay? Because he's risen, we have salvation in Jesus Christ. You can have that too. Well, let's see if we can get our candidates. Y'all can all open your eyes. See if they're ready. Do you see if he's ready? Is he ready? Come on out, Daniel. Come out of that lion's den. Well, I have to present to you this morning Daniel Norris, Addie Shaw, and becoming members of South Fork Baptist Church. What's the pleasure of the church? How many, everybody that says they've agreed, say aye. Those in Lockside, no. Praise the Lord. Come by and give a hand and share fellowship to these young people. Thank you so much for what you do. Lee closes in prayer, please.